Today we are going to learn about flower power. The astonishing blossoming staff of Aaron. The fifth reading of Parshas Korach. After the Jewish people have seen the miracles of the ground opening up, some people sank, some people were scorched. And then there was a plague because they began to complain that Moshe and Aaron are guilty and responsible for killing the nation. Aaron in turn goes and stops the plague, and he does so with a pan of incense. And the plague ceases. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemer. God now speaks to Moses, chapter 17, verse 16. Daber el bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel. The kach meitam mater. You should take from them a staff. Mater, a staff, lebeis av, for their paternal homes. Me'es kol nisi'ehem, from all of their princes, lebeis avosam, by their fathers or ancestral houses, shnei maser matos, 12 staffs, ish es shmoi tichtoiv amateyu. Each staff, a man should write his name on that staff. It's a little bit like a difficult verse, a mouthful of a verse. So the first question I'm going to ask you is, what is up with this business of the staffs? Just take from them a staff, mate lebeis av, a staff for their ancestral or father's homes, from the leaders, lebeis avosam. So the Ora Chaim says that up until this point, the Jewish people said, we got punished. Korach got punished. That's because he started up with Moshe. But there is yet no clear proof that Aaron is actually supposed to be the high priest, which is hard to understand. What were they thinking? What happened before? We'll deal with that later on. So therefore, Hashem says, take a matah. The Malbim explains that every Nasi had a staff or a scepter. It was like a sign of, I think they call it a mace, sign of ruling. Here in Canada, in the House of Commons, there's a mace also. In with the York Regional Police, I know when they swear in the chief, they hand him the sword. It's like some kind of symbolic scepter. So each Nasi had a mata. And therefore, every Shevet is actually called mata. The Shevatim are sometimes called tribes. Sometimes they're called matot, which means literally means staffs. So the Malbim says that mace, that staff of each tribe, which was like a representation of the dominion or the ruling power of each tribe, that should be taken from them. Now the Ora Chaim has what to base himself on. The Malbim has what to base himself on. However, you should know that the Ora Chaim follows the Medrash Lamdeinu in saying that you'll see as the story goes on that all the staffs have to be identical. That Moshe Rabbeinu actually crafted 12 identical staffs. Take a log, divide it into 12. 12 identical staffs coming from the same exact source, and it was distributed to all of the tribes. Now, once it was distributed to all of the tribes, now Moshe Rabbeinu's job was to take it back. It says, if you follow the verse carefully, it says, Vikach me'itam, and you must take from them. So it doesn't just say that they have to give, it's that Moshe Rabbeinu has to take. Now, the truth is, he says, it's not enough that Moshe Rabbeinu should forcefully take it, but actually they had to give the staff. And the reason that they had to give it is so they shouldn't say, oh yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu chose us a loser staff. He chose himself the good staff. He gave it to them, became theirs. Everybody could examine their own staffs. And after they finished examining it, and they saw what the staff was, and everybody saw it was 12 equal staffs, at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu asked for the staffs in return. But not before there was names written on the staff. As the verse continues, it says, Ish eshmoi tichtev al mateyu, that each one of the staffs had a name written on it. Okay, which name was written on the staff? Ish eshmoi. So, according to the Ramban, it was the name of the tribe. not the name of the Nasi. So one staff said Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and so on and so forth. The Ramban also suggests that the names of the Nasiim were inscribed or chiseled into the staff as well. Now, the obvious question, says Ramban, is then Aaron becomes the leader of the tribe of Levi, but Levi is comprised of Leviim and Kohanim. So he says that's true. But Levi and Leviim and Kohanim ultimately come from the same tribe, which is the tribe of Levi. Now, here's the interesting question. How many tribes are there for the Jewish people? 12? What's the 12 tribes? Menashe and Ephraim. Two different tribes. But now Levi is a tribe. So if you have Menashe and Ephraim, and you count Levi, how many tribes do you have? You have 13. So the Ibn Ezra and Amman both suggest that the tribe of Yosef, in this instance, was not considered to be two separate tribes. They were not Menashe and Ephraim, but rather there was a tribe called Yosef, which is really hard to figure out because the tribe of Yosef didn't have a leader. So who was the leader of that tribe? Was it Menashe or Ephraim? Like, this would have been a real squabbling. But that's what they say. Well, it must be. The Ptolemy office suggests that Reuven's staff was omitted, and therefore it was Menashe and it was Ephraim. Why would Reuven's staff be omitted? Well, the whole point here, as we said, is because they were contesting Kohuna, the idea of the firstborn versus the idea of the Kohen, who should be the one to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Reuven was told clearly by his father that Al Tosar, this is not for you anymore. You lost it. So Reuven knew he couldn't be a Kohen. So he couldn't come with that complaint. And since Reuven knew he couldn't be a Kohen, so that's why Reuven didn't have to have anything proven to him. Which is kind of interesting because the whole challenge on Kohuna was brought by Reuven. It was 250 people from Reuven's tribe. At any rate, that's what the Ptolemy office suggests. Either way, it's problematic a little bit because if there's 12 tribes, we usually include Menashe and Ephraim. And if you include Menashe and Ephraim, so then Levi couldn't be included. But Levi has to be included. That's the whole storyline here. So like I said, which Nasi was it? Who got included here? I don't know the answer to that question, but that's the kind of question one might ask over here, and these are two possible resolutions. Anyway, verse 18, V'eshem Aaron tichtev al mata Levi, the name of Aaron, you'll write on the staff of Levi, ki mata echad l'resh beis avosam, because there is but one staff for the ancestral background. Ancestral background is the tribe. Now, here is something interesting. If you're writing the names of the tribes, then how do you square that with verse 18 where it says, Ves mate Aaron, Veshem Aaron tichtev. The name Aaron has to be written. Well, this brings us back to what we said earlier. Ramban says it was the names of the tribes, but it was also the names of the Nasi, of the leader. And since Aaron was considered the most prominent Jew in the tribe of Levi, insofar as leadership in a parochial way is concerned, so therefore he became the Nasi of Shevet Levi. Now, what do you do with these staffs, identical staffs that have been taken from all the tribes and have names written on them, names of tribes, names of leaders? Says Hashem, Vehinachtem be'oil moed, you place them in the tent of meeting. Lefnei ha'ed is before the testimony, which is a euphemism for the luchot, for the covenant, ark of the covenant, and the decalogue, the tablets of the covenant. Asher ivoid lachem shama, where I make myself known to you, which was, we learned earlier, Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu mibein shnei hakruvim, from between the two kruvim, from the kapores, from the cover, which is on top of the edut of the testimony. Rashi says in verse 18, ki mata echad, One mata, afal pi shechilaktem l'shnei mishpachas, even though there are two families in the tribe of Levi, the family, mishpachas kohuna, levad ulevi levad, there's the Kohanic background, and then there's the Levite background, and the two separate families, mekol makim shevet echad, the one shevet. So Aaron, representing the tribe of Levi, his staff is placed along with all the other staffs. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, the man that I've chosen, Mateo Yifrach, his staff is going to blossom. all this kvetching and complaining, all of it's going to subside once and for all. Asher hei malina malecha, which they have lodged against you. They have all these complaints and issues. As Rashi says, vahasikaisi means, I'm going to calm. It's going to subside. You're not going to hear about it anymore. Says Rashi, kamei vayashoyku hamoyim. Like it says in the days of the Mabul, the great flood that ravaged planet Earth, that after 150 days, it says, the water became more and more and more tense, then the water began to subside. You have to calm down. So it went the opposite direction. So this machlokes, this argument came, and it was a ferocious challenge and a protest and an argument. And now Vasikasi Hashem says, it shall subside. It'll be calm and serene. Whereas it's written in the book of Esther, the Hamas Hamelech Shochacha, Achashverosh was prone to extreme fits of anger. Now, after all worked out, and the letters were sent that the Jewish people should be spared, it says the king's anger subsided, and now he was calm. Verse 21. So what happened? Vayidaber Meisha b'nei Yisrael. Meisha Rabbeinu speaks to the children of Israel. Vayitnu elav kol nisiyehem matel lenasi. Every leader of every tribe gives him a staff. Lenasi echad matel lenasi echad lebeis avaisim. With just one staff, but one. Shnei masar matas, and therefore they counted up exactly 12 staffs. Umate Aharon b'seich matosam. Aaron's staff was right in the middle. Now, why is Aaron's staff being treated special? Oh, haha. See, Aaron's staff is being treated special. We have Aaron's staff in the middle. That's why it blossomed. No, says Rashi, ridiculous. On the contrary, he nicha b'emtze, he put it in the middle. Shala yoimru, they shouldn't say, mipnei she'nichu b'tzad ha'shchina, because he put it on the outer rim, and it was the closest to the luchot. That's why it blossomed. See, because it was the closest. He positioned himself right. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, no. He positioned all the other staffs, ringed around, so Aaron's staff was in the middle. And then, after having placed the staff in that fashion, then at that point, the Torah says, something incredible unfolded. Vayanach Moshe es hamates lefnei Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu places all these staffs before God. God is everywhere. What does it mean before God? Before God means he placed them in front of the Aron HaKodesh, in front of the Luchot. So this is the commandment that Moshe Rabbeinu had received to do. Take these staffs and place them. And he places them. Vayehi mimacharas. And so it was on the morrow. Vayovei Moshe Eloi halaedus. Moshe comes to the tent of meeting. Vayinei, behold, porach mate Aharon. Amazing. Aaron's staff has blossomed. Lebeis Levi, the staff of that represents the house of Levi. Vayotze perech, it has given forth petals, flowers. Vayotze tzitz, and then these petals have given way to bulbs. Vayigmo shkedim, and almonds, ripe almonds, had dotted the staff. Staff is covered with ripe almonds. Moshe Rabbeinu takes out all these staffs from before where they are in the tent of meeting. And he shows it to the Jewish people. Each one gets to see their staff, and they see where the staff of Aaron has blossomed. And after this, everything's quiet.
Why is it almonds?
Why is it almonds? Let's take a look in Rashi. Very good question. So Rashi now says, Vayetze perech, what does it mean? It gave forth a flower, kimashmoi, a flower, petals of a flower. That's what it looked like. Because before you have a fruit that grows, what are fruits covered with? Flowers, blossoms. Tzitz, he says, is chanotas apri. That's when the actual bulb becomes prominent and emerges. That's when the petals fall off. Kishar perech neifel, when the petals fall off, so the blossoms are eventually give way to bulbs, and those bulbs are the beginning of a new fruit. Vayigmo shkedim, and it produced almonds. What does this mean? Kishuhukar apri, when this blossom became noticeable, because a lot of times blossoms look all the same. Apricots and peaches and the nectarines and even apples. I'm not so sure you tell the difference unless you know what you're looking at with which kind of blossom. But a blossom is a blossom. Flowers are flowers. And until you see the bulb develop, it's not really prominent yet, and you don't know what kind of bulb it is. You notice some kind of fruit that's developing, you're not sure what it is. So kishuhukar apri, when the fruit, when the development became noticeable, Hukashen Shkedim. It was clear they were almonds. Lashain, this comes from the language, Vayigdal Hayelad, Vayigomel. Vayigdal Hayelad, Vayigomel means that Yitzchak was weaned. He stopped nursing from his mother and he became a big boy. So it says, Vayigomel is this idea that he no longer needed to be nurtured with his mother's milk. And so the same thing also applies to the concept of the bulb, that the bulb is nurtured, it's surrounded by the petals, and then at some point the petals fall off. And the bulb emerges, and it comes into its own, and no longer needs to be nurtured in the way a baby is nurtured. Vayigmo shkedim. So Rashi says, V'loshen zem matzi b'pri ha'ilun. Even though it sounds kind of weird. Vayigomel is a person. A person is weaned. Nobody will say, oh yeah, my apples were weaned yesterday. So what are you talking about? The apples get weaned. So Rashi says, no, there is such a concept. As it says, Kimoi uvoyser goymer goymel yienitza. Well, this is a pasuk in the Nevuas of Yeshayahu HaNavi, and this Nevuah is recited in metaphoric or euphemistic terms. It refers to the great fall that will be experienced by the fearsome Gog and Magog, that everybody will come to help them, but in the end, they will not help. Just like this tree, that the blossoms fall off and the fruit is exposed and then the fruit is cut, so too, nobody will be able to shield Gog and Magog on the Day of Judgment. Get a question.
So did you see the flower, the bulb, and the
excellent
almond?
Question. Yes, clearly. The flower, the bulb, and the almond. The obvious question. Well, it can't be all at once because right. It could be one or the other. Some were bulbs, some were flowers still, and some were almonds. You could see the tahalich, you could see the process unfolded. How could you see a process unfolding? Because you could see some of them had already developed fully and they were almonds. Some of them were still in the bulb state and we didn't know what they were unless, if we wouldn't have seen the almonds develop. And some of them were still just flowers, blossoms. But an emphasis here on the flower power. There had to be flowers. It wasn't just almonds. It wasn't just bulbs. There were flowers. There were actual petals. As Deborah once suggested, there was petals on the floor. Even the almonds that had ripened, the petals or the bulbs that they no longer were surrounded by the petals had fallen on the floor. So the petals were there. V'lamashkedim. That's your question. Why almonds? It could have been anything. Says Rashi, Hu hapri hamemayr lahafriach. Because this is, of all the crops that grow from a tree, what goes fastest, what blossoms most quickly, mikola peiros, from anything else that grows on the tree, is the almond. The almond right away blossoms, and the almond right away emerges in its own, onto its own. A bulb and then a peri is the famous nursery rhyme in Israel. For Tu Bishvat, Hashkedia, Parachat. And indeed, when you drive in the hills of Yerushalayim, literally on the day or 2 days after Tu Bishvat, you see these hills filled with trees and blue flowers. And those pale blue flowers are actually the Shkedia, that is the almonds. So, the message here is, a person who will start up with the kahuna. I mean, we the Jewish people have a long, long record of starting up with God and doing all kinds of stupid things. But there's one kind of fight that does not go down well. And that is when you try to usurp the kahuna. Then Hashem says, if you're ma'ir ala kahuna, pur anius memaheres lavei. Then the troubles, the misfortunes, will be coming very quickly. Like we find Be'uziyahu, who was the king of Judea, who he decided that he wants to bring the Ketoret. He's the king, he said, enough with this priestly privilege, it's time for me to do it. And immediately when he did that, immediately his forehead flashed white and he was stricken with tzaras. The targum is Bechafes Shgidin, which means it became covered with almonds. Kimin eshkel shkedim. It was like a bunch of shkedim. Yachad kitapuchim zelze. Like they were bunched one on top of the other. So the idea here, Rashi is telling us that vayigmo shkedim, that it was not just individual almonds, but they were clusters of almonds that came one on top of the other. My Zayde, alav hashalom, at a certain point in his life, he wanted to see nachas, which is code word when your grandchildren get engaged. And he was frustrated because my cousin was already like almost 22, and my sister was like 20, and he wanted nachas. He wanted like, so he wrote to the Rebbe that he wants nachas. So the Rebbe answered him back, bracha that it should be like shkedim. So he thought it meant quick. Amens. What happened? My cousin, both my cousin, he and she, ended up getting engaged almost one after the other, and the marriages were just a few weeks apart, like shkedim. So this too, shkedim means haste. It also comes in a cluster. So what's the necessity of this miracle? I mean, all the miracles we had till now were not good enough. One more miracle, and this one, now they're going to be quiet. Now after the last miracle, besides the fact that we still weren't so quiet, but what was the thought here? What was the, like, why did you need another one? I mean, like, wasn't it enough that the ground opens up? People just sink into the ground, and most of them are never seen again. And even the ones who get seen again, as we learned yesterday, that takes 39 years to see him again. Nobody knows they're going to see him again. And the other people get like scorched with a fire that comes from heaven. That's pretty scary stuff. That's pretty intense. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Imbriya Yivra. It will be something the world has never seen before. So if the world's never seen this before, it's a one-time event. And it happened like in a moment. The earth swallows up these people. Why did you have to have a blossoming staff? Why the flower power? So the Rebbe asked this question. I mean, many of the Mefarshim ask it, but this is the Rebbe's unique explanation of it. Madua, page Reish Peivav, Simen Chav. Madua Niskach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol. Why does God need now another Nes? Nes Nesif, Kedei Lehichiach Es Amitosa Shel HaBechira Ba'aron, to prove the truth of the choice of Aaron. It's already been proven bebirur with a very, very clear and telltale reality. With the miracles that unfolded before, blias adas kerach, the swallowing up of Korach's people, and sreifas maktiri akteris, and the people who brought the incense who were burned up in a fire. That's question number one. Question number two, and you alluded to this. You asked about the petals. Since the almonds appeared miraculously, then why did it have to follow a natural progression? The natural progression is first the blossoms. After the blossoms come, the blossoms, the petal fall off. After the petals fall off, the blossoms are gone. What emerges is a bulb. And then after the bulb becomes very prominent, it suddenly becomes revealed as the particular fruit. This is 1 second. You needed this pricha, blossoming, nefilas haperach, dropping of the blossoms, chanotas hapri, the beginning, the emergence of a bulb, as it says in the Torah, vayotzi perach, it gave forth blossoms, vayotzetz tzitz, the bulb emerged, and then vayig moshkedim. Why don't you just have a simple thing the next morning? Moshe Rabbeinu comes into the tent of meeting, and there's the staff of Aaron. Now what's it covered with? Almonds. That's it. That's all you need. What does almond say? Almond says swift. Almond says now. What kind of almonds? Clusters of almonds. Who needs the blossoms? who needs the bulb? L'cheira nitin haya ba'esei mida. It would be just as miraculous if a dry staff suddenly produces almonds. It's just as compelling. How does the narrative become more demonstrative of a miracle if it seems to unfold in natural means, but really it's not natural because this was a staff, not a tree, and it was overnight, not over a year? So why bother with the natural process altogether? Why not just leapfrog over it, and he comes in the morning, there you have the staff covered with almonds. Va'bir b'zeh. Listen to this. Valdiga explanation. Hanisim shehisrachashu b'mahalach machlekes kerdech v'adasei. The miracles that unfolded during this process, during this whole narrative, this whole continuum and story of Korach and his rebellion, the swallowing up of Korach and his people, the scorching of the people who had brought their firepans. Well, indeed, hichu l'bnei Yisrael. It certainly proved to the Jewish people, beyond any shadow of a doubt, Moshe didn't just appoint Aaron on his own, because if appoint him on his own, look at all these things that are going on. Clearly, this is demonstrative of God's desire. This was God's will. You cannot confuse that. You can't ignore what just happened. Okay, fine. That's all true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shebachar b'lekuna. Maybe it was God who chose Aaron. Okay, that's pretty evident at this point. As Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ki Hashem shlachani. You'll see that God sent me. Lasses is called Dvarim Hail to do all these things. However, says the Rebbe, Adayin lehoyadai bekach. This was not enough to take away Teluna Yisbnei Yisrael, the complaints of the Jewish people. They still came and said, Atem hamitem es am Hashem. You're guilty, not the people. You made this happen. You made it happen? What did the Jewish people do? What did Moshe and Aaron do? All they did is try to hold their own against this wave of rebellion. Why would the nation accuse them? They said, Cain, Adayin hoyamakim litis, the Shulsa said, Aaron, Eine, Ra'u, Yilukuhuna. Aaron is not really a suitable Kohen. He's not really built for this. Bischus Atzmai on his own. Kadosh Baruch Hu Minei Yisrael Lekach. Misibetz Dodis. For some reason, God chose him. Maybe it was Moshe Rabbeinu's ask. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu said, please, God, you know, I'm doing all this stuff. Could you please appoint my brother? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu would say to God, My older brother doesn't look good. He doesn't have a position. I have this big fancy position. Could you do me a favor, please? Okay, God said, fine. Make Aaron the Kohen Gadol. So they said, you know, maybe God did say it. Okay, we said God didn't say it. We said you made it up. We're ready to admit at this point, God did say it. Why did God say it, though? You think Aaron is really the one who's deserving? You think he's really a Kohen? It's like everybody else. Like Kurdok, going back to people, going back to Kurdok's original Amoxi. Kol Eilu Eidu Kulam Kudashim. They said, everybody could be a Kohen. Everybody should have been a Kohen. Whatever, Moses stacked the board. I don't know, he somehow influenced God, and that's why God said this. But he's not really the Kohen to be. That's what the people were saying. So therefore, this final miracle comes. The final miracle of the blossoming staff, HaMiyuchad b'nes prichas hamata. What was so unique about this miracle of the staff that blossomed is Shalehoya zenes sheparetz esagvulis hateva. This was not a miracle that suspended the rules and laws of nature. It didn't ignore nature. It just accelerated the process. But it actually happened in a natural manner. Omnom hapricha atzma. The blossoming itself. Without a question, a dry staff blossoms. That is a miracle. Nobody could say it's not a miracle. However, at the same time, inasmuch as it's a miracle, it still seems framed and limited by nature. The nature which is hadrushim tchila, the nature which demands that in order for a fruit to appear, what has to come first? First blossoms, and after blossoms, bulbs, and after bulbs, then a fruit emerges. That's when the nuts came. So, b'kach ramaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'nei Yisrael, that is part of the message. The message is not only that those who will stand in the way of kahuna will be stricken with great haste like the shkedim, like the almonds appear very, very quickly. The message is, b'chirasei ba'aren lehoysa netulas kesher li'ishi yusei. The choosing of Aaron is not divorced from his personality. Aaron being the Kohen is not different than his natural tendency, than his inclination. Adrabba, you should know, hakahuna hofchala ma'alusa hativisu Aaron. This whole idea of priesthood, it became who Aaron is by nature. It's his nature now. Just like the blossoms, it's nature. And the nature of blossoms is that they give way to the chanata, to the bulb. And the nature is then that only afterwards the bulb evolves and emerges as a fruit. The point is that Aaron himself has become a different kind of person. There's a transformation of Aaron, not only superficially, but also internally. There was a process of transformation. And people say, well, how did that happen so fast? All of a sudden Aaron became a priest. All of a sudden the staff blossomed. God can accelerate a process. But yes, there was a genetic change in Aaron. Hashem re-engineered him. And when he re-engineered him, Aaron was worthy of the priesthood like nobody else on the face of earth. Just like the miracle happened with the blossoming staff. Flower power, amazing transformation, but a natural transformation in miraculous pace. So this process of nature is a representation and it's emblematic of the transformation of Aaron's inner reality. And so from this point onward, everything subsides, calms down. The Jewish people understand that Aaron is intrinsically the Kohen, And so it shall be for his future generations. They are the Kohanim. Hashem has changed the nature. They have those special genes. And when they represent us in the Beis HaMikdash and they bless us, then in turn, all of us benefit and all of us receive Hashem's many blessings.